Where are you secretly arguing with God about how he runs your life, your calling, or this state? Today's devotional confronts the lie that we are the potter and God is the clay and invites us to lay down our complaints and let the true potter shape our lives, our state, and our public witness. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I hope you're having a great day as you drive into work today and as you're preparing your hearts to interact in the public square. We are moving things forward in Washington State, and you are an active part of that movement. So before we get started today, if you're enjoying this daily devotion on the series called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, or place in that Washington Defender app into the huddle. And if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your monthly support. It truly does help us. All right, so let's dive into the Word of God today. Where are you arguing with God about how he runs your life or the world? That's our big idea question for today. And we're going to be reading Romans chapter 9, verses 19 through 21. You will say to me then, why does God still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me this way? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? So that's our verses for today. And I wrote this as a subtitle, who do you think you are? When you ask these questions of God, when you talk to him about these great concerns and do what Paul is doing, who do you really think you are? So the first question is, he says, you will say to me then, why does he find fault? And so finding fault, why does God find fault? Now think about that for a moment. If God is sovereign and in control, and this is really alluding back to verses 8 and 9, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise who are regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise. At the same time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of its works. The older brother will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. So he's saying, if he loves Jacob and hates Esau, why does God still find fault? I mean, think about that for a moment. You may be thinking, is that even fair? Is that even just that God would find fault? And you go through these scriptures and we begin to understand that God is sovereign. What happens when you don't agree with the will of God today? With his sovereign will over your life. He says this in the last part of verse 19. He says, or for who resists his will? Could Esau resist the will of God, or Jacob could resist the will of God? So he's asking all those questions. Paul is asking all those questions that we have all had at different times in our life. How does God's sovereignty and our free will play into this? And I love his answers because when you look at it closely, no one can resist the will of God, right? I mean, God's will is to be done and we are to walk in what he has for us. He's a sovereign, all-powerful, almighty God. And we see this in verse 20. He says this, who do you think you are? In verse 20, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? Why do we do that? Why do we talk back to God or answer back to God? We can oftentimes argue with him about, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. So the fact is that sometimes when we don't understand his sovereignty, we have a knee-jerk reaction to then say, I don't get it. You know, I don't understand what God's doing. Like, why would God do these things? Well, he's God and we're not. Do you understand that this is like one of the number one concerns or one of the number one issues in our culture today is the fact that many people begin to think that they are God, that they have the right to tell God what to do. In fact, I found myself at times in my prayer life praying prayers that tell God what to do instead of asking him or proclaiming praise to him and worship to him. On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? Then he says this in verse 20, the thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Wow. We have this all the time in our culture where people quarrel with God and say, you made me this way. And sometimes that's our sin, right? They're saying those things over our sinful nature and saying, well, God made me this way. I'm this, and this is my struggle, so therefore that's who I am. But he brings out in this verse, the things molded will not say to the molder. So do you struggle with the very fact that God is molding you? He's shaping you. Are you quarreling with God? Are you telling him how to do his job? Are you instructing him and asking that question, why did you make me like this? And instead of humbly saying, God, you've shaped my heart. You've molded me. God, you love me. God, you care for me. And I just trust your sovereignty. There's an interesting verse in Isaiah. And I want to go back there to this verse. And it's in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. And as we read through this, I want this to illuminate your heart. So Isaiah 45, verse 9, it says, woe to those who quarrels with the maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands. So you see the woe that comes in there when we begin to question in such a way God's sovereignty, and we begin to move on the very things of God and say, God, why did you mold me this way? Why did you shape me this way? And he's answering these questions about mercy on whom he desires and hardening who he desires. And we talked about yesterday about the very fact that God, in his interactions with Pharaoh, interacted with his heart, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God said, let harden his heart. And they went hand in hand. Who do you think you are, the potter and the clay? Look at this. Or does not the potter have a right over the clay? So this is the main question. Is God God and we're not? Are you allowing God to be God of your life today? Are you the clay or are you the potter? That's a hard one, isn't it? Because I think if we changed our heart to understand that God is molding us and shaping us, and he's the potter, we're the clay, he's the molder, and we're the mold, everything in our culture would begin to change. If every person in the state of Washington really saw God as God and we are his servants, surrendered to him, wouldn't we change? Because then he would have jurisdiction and or the right to speak on what he wants us to know and do and speak on our sexuality, speak on our areas of influence and where we are in life. Another scripture from Isaiah is 29:13. And when we go here, let's just look at this carefully, because it's interesting to me, the very fact that God is our maker. And talking back to God is probably not a good thing. He says this, then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of traditions learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with the people, wondrously and marvelously, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of the discerning men will be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord and whose deeds are done in dark places. And they say, who sees us? Who knows us? You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? And this part of the verse right here, so many of us are living as if we're equal with the potter. That what it is made would say to the maker, he did not make me. Are you saying today in that public square place that God did not make me? Or what does form say to him who formed it? He has no understanding. See, God molded you. You're the clay. He shaped you. He's the potter. This place of understanding that God develops in us, mercy, grace, newness of life, this ability to walk in the very things of God, is profound. Do you know how much tension leaves our life because we simply allow God to be God? The last part of 21 says, to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use. He's the potter. You're the clay. God is sovereign. So what's our public square application today? Will you just be clay today? Will you allow the potter to mold you today? Will this be a day that you trust in God's sovereignty? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are God and we're not. We trust in your sovereignty. Mold us, shape us. Thank you for extending mercy upon us today. Go before us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard